We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's Big Blue Banter, the answer to all your Giants matters. From run game to coaching to Bob Shepard's timbre. Hosted by Dan Schneier, analysis on fire. A Giants fan since day one, now preaching to the choir. Joined by Nick Filato, breakdowns with bravado. Passing you the facts like he passes on gelato. From just outside New York, a couple football dorks. A killer podcast when Dan says receiver corpse. They do the play-by-play, dropping almost every day. These experts know the X and O's just like Danny O'Shea. They do the review of the All-22, dissecting every throw. OC Umanyora lit up Dan Vanora when he was a guest on the show. So there you have it, a podcast for Giants fans who are rabid, who can't wait for Sundays, the NFC East, the Fantasy League standings. We'll see you back here. It's Big Blue Banter.
Welcome back. It's the Big Blue Banter, New York Giants football podcast. I'm Dan Schneier, joined as always by my co-host Nick Filato. Tonight we will be breaking down, or today we will be breaking down the 53-man roster, or at least our projection, our prediction for what the Giants 2021 53-man roster will look like upon final cutdowns. And I say that with a very important asterisk next to it, because as you'll see from my breakdown, I think that whatever this roster is first announced at is not what this roster will be, even in week one, as soon as week one. And we saw that last year. We saw it the year before. I think especially this offseason, and we'll get to that, Nick, there will be some players coming from other teams on waivers who the Giants will claim and ultimately add to their roster over some of the guys they have on it now. So before we do any of that, Nick, let me send it over to you, hear how you're doing today, man. What's going on?
I'm doing excellent, man. Doing excellent. Ready for the final roster. I think you did a great job talking about how this 53-man final roster will not look like the actual 53-man final roster. Dave Gettleman and the entire NFL are going to look to poach anybody who other teams are trying to slip onto the practice squad. So anybody of any kind of value that teams try to slip onto the practice squad will get poached, similar to what happened to the Giants with Ryan Connolly last year. The Giants were trying to slip him onto the practice squad, and then the Vikings were like, no, 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 we'll take him.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll see what happens with that, but today we're going to do our best guess, or our best, most educated guess, I should say, and what we think the final roster will look like. And we'll see how close ours are. We'll see how different ours are. So let's dive right into it, Nick. Let's start with the offensive side of the ball. Give me your prediction for who will make the roster at the quarterback position.
So the quarterback position's pretty cut and dry right now. It's Daniel Jones and Mike Glennon, with Brian Lewerke getting relegated to the practice squad. Obviously, Daniel Jones is going to be the starter. I think Mike Glennon is a adequate backup who has his faults, sometimes takes a lot of risks, and it doesn't necessarily pay off. But he has a lively arm, which we saw in that final preseason game against the Patriots when he connected with Damon Willis down the field.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think the Giants will go with two quarterbacks as well. I have the same prediction as you. No Lewerke, going to be Jones, going to be Glennon. Glennon has a live arm, but it is starting to feel a little bit to me like he might not be. I originally thought he'd be maybe a potentially better option than Colt McCoy, who the Giants, as we've learned since, have basically moved on from because of the money. They wanted to allocate less cap space, which they did. They accomplished in doing with Glennon. I'm not as convinced as I was that he's a better option, which is crazy to think about because he does not have a live arm, Colt McCoy. And generally, I'm not a big fan of quarterbacks without live arms. But, you know, Glennon seems to me like it's just a quarterback who's just never going to quite get there. And it's funny because I think back to those Hard Knocks days when he was with the Raiders and Gruden kept yelling at him and Gruden had all these issues with him. It seemed like he just wasn't doing a great job improving on the things. And even to the extent where I remember Gruden saying something like, this guy looks like he should be so good. He's not. And that's kind of where we're at with Glennon. I think ultimately, if you just look at the overall positions, the Giants are heading into 2021 with a quarterback group that that does leave a little bit to be inspired for me, at least. I mean, I just don't think overall they have that much talent right now at the quarterback position. There's still hope with Jones, less so with Mike Glennon, who I think at this point is typically and almost definitely Nick. And you could probably point it over to this. We've talked a lot on Jones. Who knows what's going to happen there? But I feel like this is a stopgap backup for Jones right now, Glennon. Would you agree with that? It might only be a one and done situation.
It could certainly be a one and done situation. I mean, the Giants might find some young kid who they feel like can mesh better with Jason Garrett's offense, or a former Cowboy like a Cooper Rush could end up getting released, and then Jason Garrett doesn't cut him this time. And I think a lot of things can happen, but I'm definitely viewing it more as a stopgap. I think you could do worse with other stopgaps in the league, to be honest. Mike Glennon's somebody who actually started NFL games last year. But if something were to happen to Daniel Jones, Mike Glennon isn't somebody that I expect to pull a Jeff Hostetler.
Yeah, I think you're right, Nick. And I don't know how bad of a thing that is, because I think last year someone made a really good point to me when I was kind of disappointed in Colt McCoy as the backup. And I was basically saying, like, this is not a spot you want to be in where your defense is playing lights out ball and you're not, and you can't come close to beating a Browns team because you got a quarterback who can't really generate anything on his own. And as someone said, it's almost like, well, think about it like this. Do you even want a good backup? Because if your backup has to play, if Jones gets hurt, your season's pretty much shot anyway. And do you really want to be grinding out those last few wins and then potentially, you know, hurting your chances of getting a better draft pick? Or does it even really matter? What's the ceiling? You know, there's really no ceiling with McCoy or Glennon, or basically any backup that the Giants could sign to play behind Jones right now, with the exception of maybe like a PJ Walker type, who I'm intrigued by. And I think Carolina did a really good job of getting as their backup, but I don't see and somebody like Taylor Heinicke intrigues me a tiny bit, but not much. I mean, I think if he gets hurt, Jones, the season's kind of over anyway.
Yeah, more than likely. I mean, we're not even fully sold that Daniel Jones is the guy to take this team to the promised land either. But without him, I think we're pretty certain that that's going to be a very hard obstacle to overcome.
No doubt about it. All right, let's get to the running backs. I'll give you mine, then you can give me yours. I'm curious to see if we have any differences here. I've got Barkley. I've got Booker. I've got Clement. I've got Penny. And I've got Gillespie. Is that how I pronounce it? Gillespie?
I think it's Gillespie.
Gillespie. Yeah, I knew it was Gillespie because I remember hearing it on the broadcast different. I was like, why did I always read it as it's the same thing with GIFs and GIFs. I'm a big GIF guy, even though I know it's probably wrong and I just can't get it out of my head. Once I get it in my head, can't fix it. But this one was interesting to me because I almost put Brightwell on it, especially after seeing him get first team reps. But I think that was more of a trial thing. And I think they can probably sneak Brightwell through on the practice squad. But I would not at all be surprised if Brightwell takes that spot over Corey Clement. I have two fullbacks on the roster because of the lack of depth at tight end, which I'll get to when we get to tight end. But push come to shove, this was one of my closest ones, Brightwell or Corey Clement. And I think ultimately, with the roles that they have already in place on special teams, a lot of guys playing good on that from that standpoint already, a lot of guys locked into roles there. I think they can kind of look at this position as more of like, if we need to turn to this guy, if we get hit really hard again at injuries at running back, who can we trust more? And right now, I think that answer is Corey Clement, despite the fumbles. I think, you know, that's something that they can kind of not get over, but if they continue, then move on from, then decide it's time to move on from. So that's where I'm at running back. Where are you at with the backs?
So it's actually funny, man, because I think you were right. It is GIF. And I've always called it GIF, and I'm being very stubborn and not coming off of it. And I still refer to it as GIF. Somebody can vet me on this. I'm not 100% certain, but I think you actually might be right there, Dan.
That's surprising. I thought I was wrong this entire time.
Yeah, someone will correct us and let us know, I'm sure. But I have the same, actually. I have those same five running backs, two being fullbacks. I think obviously Saquon Barkley, that's a given. And then Devontae Booker, who's going to be that number two. If something were to happen to Barkley, Booker would assume the large portion of that role, with Corey Clement being someone that could see some third down work, has been a solid pass protector in the past, pretty explosive weapon out of the backfield of the receiver, but those fumbling issues are definitely something that is problematic. We've also seen the Eagles in the past use Corey Clement as a back on the goal line too, even though he's not that big, but he's very, very stout and very, very strong. As for those two fullbacks, Elijah Penny and Gillespie are two guys who are key on first team special teams, and they've been that way basically the entire preseason. Gillespie are kind of playing that Nate Ebner role from last year on the punt team, that protector, that last line of defense for the punter. So I kind of think they're both going to make the squad as well. And you already took the words out of my mouth with the tight end position. We saw Elijah Penny last year run some H-back on the counter run, puller, kind of locate that most dangerous man in the hole. We saw him do that when Caden Smith was executing another role. So I think that's something we could see if the tight end position suffers an injury. Both Gillespie and Penny have either experience doing that, Penny's case in this offense last year, and then Gillespie profile to somebody who may be able to do that. So with the depth at tight end and the fact that both of them are key contributors on special teams, I have them both making the roster as well.
Okay, so far we're on the exact same page, it appears. Let's see if we have any differences. We move on to tight ends. I'm going Rudolph, Caden Smith, and Evan Engram. Where are you at there?
Those are the three that I have, with a caveat that Nakia Griffin-Stewart could actually make this roster if this Evan Engram calf injury is worse than we anticipate, or is just going to have him miss a couple games. And now I think he would be one of the first offensive players who are going to be released, specifically if a tight end comes free from any other team, which is something that could realistically happen. But I wouldn't be shocked if Griffin Stewart, who had three catches for 30 yards in the Patriot 22-20 loss, I wouldn't be shocked if we hear his name called, which is something that's insane to me, but it just speaks to the injuries that have happened at this tight end position with Levine Toilolo, Cole Hikutini, and Rice and John.
Exactly. I mean, those three guys, at least they were counting on at minimum one, especially most likely Toilolo. And it's really interesting. I mean, even if he were to make the roster, obviously he had a pretty good receiving game comparatively speaking to the Giants offense tonight, or if they're able to do another thing where they kind of pull a Caden Smith type, not obviously Smith, but somebody off another team's roster at final cuts. Regardless, the fact of the matter is there's a chance that they are going into the season with like three tight ends, and obviously Gillespie and Penny as kind of, you know, potentially can play some H-back, whatnot, can play different roles. But just the fact that they might go in with that amount of tight ends, like traditional tight ends on the roster, is surprising. You just rarely see that. Looking back to last season, I wanted to make sure that we took a look at last season's roster breakdown as we went by this. Giants had two quarterbacks. Giants had four running backs, and that includes Penny, so one fewer. And they had only three tight ends, so it's not completely out of the realm of possibility. It's not like something crazy, even considering the Giants are a team that likes to run a lot of these two tight end sets, because we did see it last year. So I guess that kind of grounds me a bit and brings me back to earth on the fact that they don't have as much tight end depth as we'd hope.
No, they do not. And I hope there's a Caden Smith that comes free from a team like the 49ers or the Ravens or one of these teams that seem to have a glutton of tight ends. And that would be something that would be a welcome sight for the Giants if this Engram injury is worse than we anticipate. I'm also wondering if someone like Eric Tomlinson, who actually caught a touchdown pass against the Washington football team, who's currently with the Baltimore Ravens, if he comes free, if the Giants would look to bring him back, because he has some experience in Jason Garrett's offense, and he was a Giant for a brief time.
Yeah, excellent point. I think that could be in play as well. All right, let's move on to the wide receivers. This is one where I feel like we might have a little bit of a difference. So Galladay, Tony, Slayton, Shepard, lock them in. No chance in my mind of either of any of them not being on the roster. And then I'm going with CJ Board. I think Board has shown enough over this span, also last season included, both as a receiver and special teamer, to kind of give himself that spot. And then my sixth guy is going to be Dante Pettis, and I'm only going six receivers. Last year, the Giants went into the regular season with just five receivers. I think a lot of people forget this. It was just Shepard, Tate, Slayton, Coleman, and Board. And I don't want to quote me on saying they went into the regular season. That was their first initial roster. Things changed, obviously, in those coming days a bunch. But they initially, on their initial cutdowns, it was down to five. So I think that six is, you know, it might even go less than six, potentially five. But I think specifically with the guys they have and the way this position shakes out, they will get six. And I'm going with Pettis here. I want to go Ross. Ross is the guy I think has the most upside. But I think this injury kind of killed him, this camp injury and all the time he's missed kind of killed him. And then I know Sills has been a very big camp favorite, but to me, I think that Pettis is a much better fit for the NFL corners that he would face if pressed into action than somebody like David Sills. So that's where I'm kind of rounding out. Who do you have for your your wide receiver position?
So I have seven making the team, but okay. It gets a little tricky with one of them. So Kenny Galladay and Kadarius Toney, presumably they're going to be healthy. They were going to make the roster off their skill set, but they're presumably going to be there for week one as well. Let's hope. Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton as well. Then I have CJ Board because of the special teams value that we have been talking about for quite some time. I have David Sills making the team as well. He's kind of that prototypical X that people talk about. He doesn't have obviously the same type of skills as someone like a Kenny Galladay, but with Kenny Galladay ailing, I think Sills could be somebody who can be who make the roster, who won't be dressed kind of player, just in case Kenny Galladay's rehab is a little bit slower than some anticipated. And then that final guy is John Ross. Now, John Ross has been dealing with an injury. He had a lot of hype coming into camp. He's been dinged up. He's been nicked up. Now, if he continues to be injured, he has to make the final 53-man roster in order to get reverted to the IR. And I'm wondering if the Giants try to do that and don't want to put him through the waiver system because they fear that another team would pick up somebody of the talent and pedigree and speed of John Ross, because Ross has that specific trait that supersedes a lot of the – it's an elite trait, so sort of supersedes any of the other traits that someone like a Dante Pettis has. So I think originally Ross may make the team, and they may revert him to the IR depending on whatever injury that he's dealing with. I think that could be a possibility. That's how I have it currently constructed, but I wouldn't be shocked if someone like Dante Pettis makes the squad. And as I said on the last podcast, he's definitely somebody that I envision landing on his feet.
I think that's an excellent call that they could pull a little, I don't want to call it a fast one, but a savvy kind of roster move there by having Ross be on the initial roster, but then reverting to IR and freeing up that spot for one of those other back end guys. So we'll see what happens there. Let's look at the entire offensive line. We don't have to break it down by position. Just go with your entire offensive line. And so I'm going to first preface it by saying the Giants kept 9 offensive linemen going into that first final cuts last year. That was one of the more surprising things I thought about the first round of cuts last year, just because you don't often see 9. And obviously that was mix and match throughout the season, but it gives you an idea of where of how important they value that having depth at that position. So I'm going with Andrew Thomas, Shane Lemieux, Nick Gates, Will Hernandez, Matt Parrott, Nate Solder, Jonathan Harrison, and unfortunately Ted Larson. So I've got 8 on my initial projection, but then I say with an asterisk, I'm giving a 55% chance, and I'll do this for other positions as well with percentage. I'm giving a 55% chance that they have a 9th offensive lineman, and he's signed from another team. So he's not any of the guys currently on the roster, and he signed from another team.
Yeah, I have the same 8, to be honest with you. I think Ted Larson may have shown enough in his brief stint with the Giants to take that job away from someone like Kenny Wiggins, who has struggled when he's seen the field. And I also do believe that the Giants will look and use that pro scouting department to find the highest graded person who teams are trying to sneak through waivers, and they can come in and possibly be the 9th lineman, and the Giants would end up cutting maybe one of the edges that we have on this list, or one of the cornerbacks, depending on how many cornerbacks you have listed, maybe one of those defensive players to kind of bring him on. And that also depends on Evan Ingram's injury and a couple of these other nagging injuries the Giants are facing right now, because I'm sure they're not going to want to put someone like Evan Ingram on IR if it's just going to be a 1 or 2 week kind of injury. So things got kind of tricky with the numbers in terms of guys like that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll see what happens there. All right, let's move on to the defensive side of the ball. Before we do that, let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, defensive side of the ball, things get more interesting to me. Obviously, with the exception of, I mean, there's interesting spots in the offense. The offensive line, we've talked about it in depth, Nick, but, you know, those back end guys were definitely worried about Larson. Though, you know, Jonathan Harrison's playing decent ball. Did struggle a bit, though, during his reps against NFL-level defensive linemen with the Jets. I remember he was among some Jets fans, Nick, and I know his game could have changed from that point to now, so I'm not saying it's what he is now, but he was like Eric Flowers level among Jets fans at one point from the fans I know that I've talked Jets O-line with, and the Jets have had a similarly awful offensive line to the Giants over this last decade, so things have been struggle there. But let's move on to the defense. Enough talk about the offense. Let's start with the defensive line. I am projecting this, Nick. Leonard Williams, Dexter Lawrence, Austin Johnson, that's three. B.J. Hill for a fourth. Danny Shelton for a fifth. And I'm actually predicting a sixth offensive lineman to make the roster. And I have in asterisks likely to be the first cut if/when. So it's mostly a when for me. The Giants sign an O-lineman or a cornerback, and we'll get to that in a minute, from another team. But right now I do have Raymond Johnson with his incredible camp being that sixth defensive lineman. And last year, the Giants did carry six defensive linemen after first cuts. It was Dalvin, Dex, Leonard, B.J. Hill, R.J. McIntosh, and Austin Johnson. What that tells me regarding R.J. McIntosh making that first cut is that they really did kind of want to have that potential to have a hit again on the defensive line in the interior. Remember, when Gettleman first got here, he said a lot of things. He said, the first thing I'm going to do is fix this offensive line. He also said, I watched the Eagles win that Super Bowl with an incredibly deep defensive line rotation, and that's extremely important to have in the playoffs, in the postseason in the NFL, a big pool of defensive linemen, interior type guys that you can rotate in and out so you don't get tired. So to me, I think it's more likely for this team than others that they do carry six. I'm not sure it'll stick. I'm not sure Johnson will stick, but that's my initial prediction.
Yeah, I think if Johnson does make the team, he may be somebody who's inactive on a game day, but still cracks that final 53. I don't have Johnson on here, but I do believe he's somebody who's definitely in the conversation. I just think he's in a position group that is incredibly deep for the New York Giants with Leonard Williams, Dexter Lawrence, Austin Johnson, B.J. Hill, and Danny Shelton. And I actually kind of wanted to ask you this. I've seen it be pitched around a little bit on Twitter. Do you think that the Giants will look to move somebody like B.J. Hill because of the play, because he's on the last year of his contract, and because David Moa and Raymond Johnson have had really, really good camps, and they may feel like that they can get a lot out of the current group of defensive linemen if they could get, say, like a fifth, which they won't get, or a fifth and seventh, which they won't get, some sort of day three pick. I'm not necessarily of that mindset, but I saw it floated out, and I wanted to kind of pitch it to you because I'm a big B.J. Hill guy.
Yeah, so this is funny because this is kind of picking up steam, I guess, in Giants Twitter. At the game today, you know, I told you I sat with a couple guys from Giants Twitter, and Will was like willing to give me, he thinks there's a 50% chance that B.J. Hill gets cut. He's willing to give me or take a bet where it's 2-1. I predicted it at 30%, and I think that's even being high. But it's possible, because I said, because he's had such a nondescript camp. But I think this is a classic example of way too much way too much weight being placed on training camp reports and things we're not actually seeing and preseason reps that don't actually matter all that much versus what the actual film of real live game shows. And the film of real live game shows a player in B.J. Hill who consistently on tape was able to win quickly off the line of scrimmage as a pass rusher. That is not what you're going to get out of David Moa, in my opinion, at the NFL level. That is not what you're going to get for certain and probably unlikely out of Raymond Johnson. There are very few guys on this roster I think can win in those one-on-one battles like B.J. Hill can, after the fact that they obviously have Lawrence and Williams. But after the big two, I think he's their next best bet. So this to me is a perfect example of the training camp buzz taking too much weight, the preseason reps that actually don't matter all that much taking too much weight. The fact that he hasn't had that much, you know, fanfare around his, I guess, training camp and preseason taking too much weight. The film tells a whole nother story, and I think the coaches are well aware of that.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but I figured it was worth mentioning.
Definitely.
How does the edge look for you, bro?
So for edge, I have Lorenzo Carter, Azeez Ojulari, Ellerson Smith, because they're not giving up on that draft capital. Oshane Zimenez, Adenabo, who was someone I would consider like he's had a really nondescript camp, but I just ultimately decided I feel like they can believe enough in his ability to help them on the edge in some spots and in the interior in other spots. And just the fact that they signed him to that contract, he'll make the roster. And then Cam Brown, who's just locked into this roster, I think.
Yeah, he's locked in from a special teams value, and you'll see him a little bit if injuries happen to, say, Lorenzo Carter or Zimenez or somebody like that. Now, I have the same list as you with kind of a caveat about Odenebo. I don't think he's really done all that much this offseason through training camp. You haven't heard that much about him. He has that versatility that we spoke about. He can kick inside on passing downs. It just hasn't materialized into much in these three games that he's played in the preseason, and I could see him being a cut if, say, the Giants have to get a little bit creative with their roster or if there's any other potential players that the Giants are interested in. So I have him making the final 53, but I would not be shocked if he doesn't make it, especially since one of these linebackers is a former edge player.
Yeah, I think that's more than fair, and that's actually a really good point as to why he may not be a stick guy, and he may not be someone who even – maybe someone who initially makes it but doesn't make it after kind of the – transactions they're going to make post the first announcement. You know, like, this is going to be a team that's active on the wire. They have been throughout Dave Gettleman's tenure. They have changed up their initial roster every single time. So that's something to keep an eye on for sure. Ultimately, I do kind of feel like the contract's going to play a role there and kind of what they originally envisioned in him when they signed him. Let's get to the inside. I got four guys there. I got Blake Martinez, Reggie Ragland, Carter Coughlin, and Tate Crowder.
Same, man. I get the same four. And Blake Martinez, I mean, that's your star, your stud. I think Tay Crowder offers, I guess you could say, a little bit of upside for somebody who was Mr. Irrelevant if he really kind of masters the mental part of the game. I think he's a solid athlete. I think he attacks downhill really well, and he just provides a little bit more athletic ability than someone like Reggie Ragland. But Reggie Ragland is mentally more up to speed than someone like Tay Crowder. So if you put both of those players together, I think you would have a pretty darn solid linebacker, but that's not possible. And then Carter Coughlin, man. I mean, you got to love the transition that he's making. I wasn't necessarily and again, it hasn't happened in regular season either, so we have to take that in mind as well. But I didn't think that it would be as effective even in the preseason as he's been at this position. So I think he's basically played himself into being a lock on this roster and being that fourth linebacker who could actually earn some snaps over Crowder and Ragland if he keeps progressing within this position.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's really been fun to watch his steady rise, the steady drumbeat that's been building for him. He's given me some hope. You know, I feel like that's a great thing to have a potential prospect on the inside that we weren't expecting. I know Tate Crowder has some upside as well. I'm not trying to take that away from him at all. I just ultimately feel like there's more upside with a player like Coughlin.
And I don't think that's a ridiculous take either. Especially in Patrick Graham's defense that loves these second-level defenders, as we've spoken about for over a year now.
Yep, that's it, right? Like, this is the example of what we talk about on offense, like fitting your system to the talent. I can't think of many better examples than what we've seen from Carter Coughlin since he joined the New York Giants with Patrick Graham. It's just like Patrick Graham gets it, man. It clicks for him with a lot of these players that he recruits. I don't want to say recruits, it's not college, but probably has a hand in picking. I'm sure he had a big hand in deciding that Carter Coughlin was someone to prioritize on their board on day three. So definitely exciting to see, man. I'm really excited to see him. He's been like a nice late bloomer. Not late bloomer, but just someone I wasn't totally counting on going into training camp as someone that could make a big impact on this defense. And now I'm like, maybe he can. Maybe he really can. Let's talk corners. I've got Bradbury, Adoree Jackson, Darnay Holmes, Crossan, Rodarius Williams, who, man, talk about steady drumbeat. Like, we began this offseason like Rodarius Williams is joining an insanely deep group, kind of a maybe on our part overlooking the fact that the outside boundary position wasn't as deep as we thought, but I think we kind of both envisioned him more as a slot anyway. Now he seems like a big roster lock to me. And then my last guy here, controversial one, Nick. So I'm actually only carrying six corners, which is pretty in line with what the Giants typically do. They carried six corners last year. So I have them carrying, or at least, again, initial cuts, six corners. Again, I have them going six, and it's Sam Beal as my last one with a 45% chance. And I think I want to up that to 60% chance. We see Beal replaced with a cut from another roster. And then I said, also in asterisk, Aaron Robinson, the third rounder, is going to open on PUP. He'll be that guy once he's healthy, which I don't think is going to take too long. My deal with this is just like the options here. It's slim pickings there. I mean, like, I went back and forth on some of these other guys. I'm sure they wanted Josh Jackson to be this final guy, but he's been injured since he got to the Giants, since they traded for him. He's been injured. So, I mean, can they really put him on the roster just basically kind of guessing that he'll be able to fit into the system without actually seeing it? I'm not so sure. In the end, I kind of said, quick line to Beal. And then Harper, who you talked about earlier, man, he just doesn't look good out there. I just don't get the feeling that Harper has any chance of really sticking. So I'm going to go with Beal to start, but I do really feel like this could change.
Yes, I have the same exact list with that same exact caveat about Sam Beal. I'm pretty certain it would change. What I would say, though, is we expected Aaron Robinson to not be injured back when we were talking about Rodarius Williams' chances. And then Williams had this excellent camp as well. So, I mean, I'm very happy with Rodarius Williams making this roster, albeit I don't really want to see him out there against number one quarterbacks and wide receivers, because I don't think that would go well for the rookie sixth round pick this early in his career. And I don't really believe you can rely too much on Crossan as a cornerback, although he's going to make the team because he's an excellent gunner on special teams. He's great on kickoff as well. But since one of these safeties is a converted cornerback, kind of allows you to not have as much depth at the cornerback position. But I'm not going to be shocked if Sam Beal makes this squad and then is released shortly after when the Giants poach someone off waivers.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, let's do the safeties. I have Peppers, Ryan, McKinney, Love. I can only imagine this is you have the exact same thing, correct?
It is. I do not have Chris Johnson making the team, unfortunately.
This one's like the easiest one in the book. This one, anyone, I think, could have predicted who follows the team.
It's good. Yeah,
though.
This is great,
right? Like, it's good that this is the case where they have four locked in guys. We're pretty confident in all four of them.
Yes, we're very confident, and there's a reason for it. And I hope they all stay healthy, knocking on wood and everything, because I believe they each provide a ton of value to what Patrick Graham wants to do. I think a lot of them are interchangeable, which can give your defense that slight edge over the offense from a schematic standpoint. If the quarterback doesn't really necessarily know what your safeties are doing or where they're rotating or what their assignment / responsibility is, because a lot of these guys can do a lot of different things, even though they all kind of specialize in a certain thing. I can trust every single one of these guys in a lot of the roles that Patrick Graham asked them to do.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I thought it was really cool that when we found out why Xavier McKinney was playing last week with all the backups, it was because the Giants were like, we want to give him an opportunity to get the headset. We want to give him an opportunity to be the quarterback of the defense, something Logan Ryan always gets to do. And we want to see what he can do, because that's something, you know, one underrated low-key thing about what I love so much about McKinney as a prospect is that Nick Saban turned that defense over to him. Man, like, Nick Saban doesn't do that often as early in the career as he did with McKinney. He gave him a lot of responsibility back there as that quarterback of the defense. So I know he's got that capability. I know he has that upside. And I'm happy that he, you know, got that opportunity. But again, just another example of why we're just so excited about this safety group.
Absolutely. And then we have our three special teamers, Dan. We can't forget about them.
No, cannot.
Nope. Good old Graham Gano, Riley Dixon, and Casey Kreider making the team. Good old Santoso got traded to the Panthers. Good on the Giants to get a pick out of a kicker.
Yeah, definitely. I hope it's not another Brandon McManus situation, but time will tell on that one, because I mean, it is what it is. Gano was so damn good last year, but he is older, and they did dump a huge chunk of cap space for a kicker position into Gano, and we were fine with it. Like, I like the contract, you like the contract, it's okay. I'm not too concerned in general with cap related stuff, but it will kind of suck if Santoso does turn out to be the next Brandon McManus, where it's like, you could have had him for nothing and he is ultimately like the next big kicker, but that's so far down the line from being the deal right now. I know the Giants have unfortunately had a lot of that. That's happened a lot in recent years. It wasn't just McManus where that was the case. I'm forgetting another. There was another big one earlier in my fantasy. Now I'm like blanking on this name. Who was the kicker? You guys can help me out, listeners podcast. Who was the kicker the Giants traded before McManus, who ended up being awesome after they traded him? You guys can definitely fill me in on that, unless you have it, Nick. Do you have it?
The kicker the Giants traded before McManus that was all – it's not coming to me right now, and I'm sure I'll kick myself whenever somebody points it out to me.
Me too. I feel the exact same way. All right, Nick, anything else on the 53-man roster projection, the initial one you have before we go over it and kind of – I'm going to go over my exact roster, and you can go over yours as well.
No, I think it's pretty solid. I mean, we have the practice squad guys. The Giants and every team can keep up to 16 players on the practice squad. A handful of them can be veterans. So I can go over those guys real quick. And some of those guys who I wouldn't be shocked if they actually ended up making the roster. So I guess I'll do that right now. Lewerke at quarterback. Brightwell at running back, with Plotzgummer being a roster exemption. So he gets the nod for that. Hausman at tight end. Dante Pettis, wide receiver, Willis, Austin Mack, and then I have Matt Cole, who's a low-key person if something were to happen to Croson or anybody else. Somebody we haven't brought up quite yet, but Matt Cole is definitely an interesting one. Giants worked him out at cornerback against the Browns, and he wasn't targeted for like a really long time in that game, and it was actually pretty shocking. And then we have on the offensive line, Chad Slade, Burton, and Brett Hagee. And then Raymond Johnson, Moa, Nico Lalos, and then a cornerback, Josh Jackson, and Madre Harper.
Yeah, it's pretty similar to what I would have here. Obviously, it's basically just the guys that are in the position battles that are just losing out for the most part. Obviously, the younger guys, that being the only exception that, you know, it's not obviously some of these older vets. I obviously have Pettis making my final roster, so that would be one of the changes there. And we'll see what happens with this unit. Brightwell's going to be an interesting one. I'm still curious about him getting these first team reps, but ultimately I feel like they might feel a little bit more confident right now in Clement, and that could be something that changes in season. But let's go over the final rosters then. For me, I end up having on my final roster, I have two quarterbacks. I end up having five backs, but again, remember two of those are fullbacks, but five backs, three tight ends, six receivers, eight offensive linemen, but I think there's over 50% chance that the Giants will sign a ninth offensive lineman from another team, I should say. I start off here with six defensive linemen like the Giants carried last year, and like they've tended to carry at times throughout Gettleman's tenure. He's big again on that rotation. But I do have Raymond Johnson finally being the first cut, probably being the first cut, but I wouldn't be surprised if they sign another defensive lineman from another team, like somebody else who they've had their eye on, an Austin Johnson type late into this process. On the edge, I have them going with five players there, four at inside backer, six at corner, four at safety, and then finally the three on special teams. What's your final countdown, Nick?
It's the final countdown. So it gets weird because the tight end with I do like 80s music, and someone's probably going to be like, that wasn't the 80s, but to me it seems like it would be an 80s song, but what do I know? So for me, I have it. It's a little weird now with this Evan Engram injury, but let's assume that Evan Engram is fine. Okay. So I have two quarterbacks in Daniel Jones, Mike Glennon, three running backs in Barkley, Booker, Clement, the two fullbacks, Penny and Gillespie, seven wide receivers with Galladay, Shepard, Slayton, Tony, John Ross. Remember, he has to make the roster to get put on IR. And if that doesn't happen and they want to end up just releasing him, I can see Dante Pettis filling that role. David Sills and CJ Board. Tight end wise, Evan Engram, Kyle Rudolph, Caden Smith, so three. And then for the offensive line, I have the eight, same eight as you, Andrew Thomas, Matt Parrott, Nate Solder, Will Hernandez, Shane Lemieux, Nick Gates, Ted Larson, Jonathan Harrison. And then on defense, five defensive linemen, Williams, Lawrence, Hill, Austin Johnson, and Danny Shelton. The edge, I have six right now, but I am not confident about Odenebo making this roster, so it would be Odenebo, Brown, who's mostly special teams, Ellerson, Smith, Oshane Ximines, Aziz Ojulari, and Lorenzo Carter. Linebacker, I have four, Blake Martinez, Tay Crowder, Carter Coughlin, and Reggie Ragland. Cornerback, James Bradbury, Adoree Jackson, Darnay Holmes, Rodarius Williams, Keon Crossan, Sam Beal, that's six, and then the four safeties of Jabril Peppers, Logan Ryan, Xavier McKinney, Julian Love, with the special teamers being Ganeau, Dixon, and Kreider.
All right, that's our 53-man roster prediction, or at least our initial 53-man roster prediction. That will change. That's going to be evolving. Anything else you want to touch on before we sign off here, Nick?
Let's hope the Giants find some good guys to poach off of other rosters. That would be quite awesome right now, because there's some positions
they haven't done it before.
Exactly. Under Dave Gettleman, they've done it and they've had success doing it with guys like Caden Smith, who was a sixth round pick by the 49ers that was poached in 2019. But there are some position groups here, Dan, that need some upgrade on depth, specifically the offensive line. I think you could throw the tight ends in there. Cornerback is something to look at as well. So it's something that I'm sure the pro scouting department will be definitely thinking about a lot this coming week.
Yep. All right, guys, have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you soon, and we'll be back with the actual 53-man roster to break it all down. Any surprises, any potential trades, anything like that. I did just see this pop across Twitter, which is probably for another time, Nick, but Dan Duggan said, BJ Hill is the only player to not play a single snap, only healthy player to not play a single snap tonight. Things that make you go, Yeah, that does make me go, We'll have to see how that all plays out.
Definitely makes me go, That is, wow, I did not realize that. That could be bad, because there could be a trade that's already in the works and they were just holding him off to ensure that he didn't get injured. Or we could just be overthinking, but I guess we might find out tomorrow.
That's where my brain went. You know, is this breaking news? Are they holding him off so he doesn't get injured because they're going to trade him? I hope that's not the case. I love BJ Hill, but I guess time will tell.
Absolutely,
man. All right, guys, have a great rest of your week. We will talk to you soon. Bye.